This is Intergalactic Librarian, The Adventures of Skylar and Jessica. Part 2, Collection Development. I braced myself, shoving my body as far back into the chair as I could. Hanging onto the arm of it with a white-knuckle grip, my other hand grasped the throttle. Using my thumb, I triggered the override, taking the standard propulsion drives offline and engaging the hyperspatial parallax engines. I took a deep breath and eased back on the throttle. And not a damned thing happened. "Oh, come on," I shouted, turning to the readout on my left. Sure enough, high-power engines showed offline. How can that be? They were there just a second ago. My anger rising, I fingered the communication switch and brought up the engine room. "Jessica, ask that friggin' high-power engine what its problem is. I can't go and slaughter a bureaucrat if I can't get within 10 parsecs of him."
"1 sec, Skylar,"
said Jessica, her ever-happy sing-song voice echoing on the empty bridge. Several minutes passed before she returned to the link.
"Okay, here's the deal. There's a space between the Newtonium fusion chamber and the deuterium producer. High-power engines have an emergency disengage feature where, if the distance between those two areas isn't sealed off, then they won't power up. So while the engines register as being online and ready, they aren't. Well, they are, really. See, they're online and they are ready, but because the two areas don't interlink until you engage the drive..."
"Jessica?" I said, interrupting what I knew to be a never-ending lecture on transstellar propulsion.
"Yeah, Skylar?"
"Let's pretend that, instead of being captain of a somewhat derelict star cruiser, I'm something else. A librarian. Yeah, let's say I'm not the captain of a star cruiser because I'm a librarian. Now, a librarian wouldn't know too much about transstellar technology. They'd be interested in how it works, but you won't find them lying underneath one, studying it in detail. No, a librarian would have a passing interest. They would be more concerned with whether or not it worked at all. Me, I'm more concerned with whether or not it works because, Jessica?"
"Yes?"
"Because I am a librarian, damn it. So shut up about the gap between the what's it and the thinger and tell me if we can fix it," I said, yelling into the microphone.
"Okay, okay. Geez, Sky, I'm on it. I was going to tell you that the mechanics usually fill this gap with a malleable, non-conductive substance with a high degree of thermal transmissive ability. The gap is very small, so all we need is..."
"Great. Wonderful," I said, growing more impatient. "Do we happen to have something like that on board?"
"Sure. It turns out that an underwire out of one of your push-and-lift bras was small enough, so I made it work. Hypars should be online and capable in just a few seconds."
I sank back into my chair. I almost get killed in the depths of space because of bibliobureaucrat's unwillingness to check someone's references. I've got transstellar engines which, apparently, need parts from my lingerie drawer. I've got an android page named Jessica who won't shut up. And to top it all off, I think that, in a roundabout way, she just said I was flat-chested. I'd break her, but she's packing far better weapons than I am, and besides, she knows her high-par engines. "Okay, Jessica, let's try this one more time." I braced against my seat, killed the standard propulsion drives, and pulled back on the throttle once more. And the cosmos bent around us as the stars became ribbons of light stretching into the darkness of space. "Finally," I said to the empty bridge. I got up out of the helmsman's chair and sauntered back down to the library. Locked on course and facing a few hours in hyperspatial parallax, there wasn't much to be done on the bridge anyway. Jessica met me at the doorway into the stacks. I paused for a moment, looking wistfully at all of the books spread before me. In a way, those books are what got me out here into the cosmic slums to begin with. I love them, and by God, I'm going to protect them, too. Unfortunately for me, that's not what the Directorate had in mind, so my enthusiasm earned me a transfer to the periphery branch of the Galactic Public Library and Information Center, or GALPLIC for short. Well, at least they sent me to a library with books instead of databanks and terminals. Then Chancery, the branch coordinator for GALPLIC, hired a temp to help out with the deliveries while the regular guy was out on paternity leave. The temp seemed like an okay guy until he tried to steal the entire ship, the books, and there was that little matter of trying to kill me. So I set up a meeting with Chancery to discuss the incident and his hiring practices. I didn't tell him we were meeting. I figure he'll get the idea soon enough. We arrived a few hours later, docking with the mid-station orbiting the moon. The Earth looked beautiful, spiraling below us. Apparently there was a hurricane ripping through part of the western hemisphere, but it was impossible to see it from here. Jessica and I snagged a shuttle down to Luna's surface, and in a few minutes I strode as purposefully as I could toward the GALPLIC main offices, located some distance below the surface. I forgot that it's hard to do anything purposefully when you're walking around in low gravity, so I probably looked more like a ballerina with diarrhea. Jessica had no issue since her ball drive gripped the floor better than my sneakers. Remembering where they hid the offices for branch coordination took a small time, but a moment later I walked through the doors of that very department. As luck would have it, Chancery stood before the front desk, speaking to his receptionist. He turned to me as I entered. "Skylar, what are you doing?" He never got to finish his sentence. My right arm came up and my fist connected dead across the bridge of his nose. Thanks to a lower gravity than Terra, he practically flew across the office, crashing through a set of files and slamming against the far wall. The receptionist, stunned for a moment, grabbed the comlink to call security. Or at least she would have had Jessica not pulled a blaster on her. Leaping from the front of the room and landing on the desk behind which Chancery landed, I stood over him as he cradled his nose and gaped at me in wild-eyed fear. "You little bureaucratic idiot! Next time you send a temp worker out to my branch, you better damn well check his references first," I said, crouching down in an effort to look menacing. "That so-called temp was a pirate, and he tried to make off with the books and with me." "Hey, he tried to steal me too," Jessica piped up from the front desk. It's a strange juxtaposition to hear an android sound so friendly even while she's training a high-powered ion accelerator on some poor innocent girl who happened to be at the wrong job in the wrong place at the wrong time. "Now I've got damage to the interior of my branch, a few irreplaceable books singed by a blaster rifle, and scratches all over the paint job of my ship where he tied on. I can understand you and the Directorate sending me out to the periphery, but I think I could make a damn good lawsuit of this. Your actions nearly got me, and me," Jessica said, "killed. So what do you intend to do about it, you sniveling little creature?" I said, my fists clenching and unclenching as I mulled over the idea of hitting him again, and repeatedly. "Skylar, I didn't know," Chancery whimpered, backing even more closely to the wall. The only way he could get closer was to tunnel through it. "We needed to get someone on board quickly because..." "Quickly because what?" I said, interrupting him. "We both know it takes well over a standard year for a halcyon female to hatch a kid, so it's not like you didn't have notice." I jumped to the ground beside the desk, landing nimbly for once. At this point, I desperately wanted to look like I knew what I was doing. "So," I said, glaring down at Chancery, "what are you going to do about this? I need my branch fixed, repainted, and then you give me a reason not to sue you, the Directorate, and GALPLIC." Checking his nose again, Chancery found that the bleeding subsided a bit. Apparently, I hadn't broken it after all. Damn. Well, can't say I didn't try. He gathered himself and finally, after some seconds, turned and looked at me. "Okay, you've got me. And you've probably got GALPLIC, too. I didn't know he was a criminal, and I surely didn't mean to hire someone who'd wind up kidnapping you, or worse. Before I tell you what I, or GALPLIC, can offer by way of some kind of settlement, I need you to tell me exactly what happened out there." I blinked. Settlement? He was going to cave? Just like that? This was easier than I thought. And that's what bugged me. Nevertheless, I relayed the events transpiring out at Periphery Branch, the attempted theft, the firefight, and since she currently stood over his secretary with a gleaming ion cannon sticking out of her chest, I saw no reason to hide the details about Jessica being better armed than most interplanetary Marines. Through all of this, Chauncery nodded, interjected a question or two, and finally made a couple of notes on his datapad. "Very well," he said with an air of finality. "I think I have something you'll be very interested in. However, in a gesture of good faith, could you please let Miss Haskins go?" he said, motioning towards Jessica. I looked over at the woman, whose eyes were about as wide as Jessica's ion cannon, and nodded. "It's okay, Jessica." Jessica's servos worked and the cannon clicked back into her chest, covered by the breastplate, which completely hid it from sight. "Thank you, Jessica," Chauncery said. "Would you two please follow me?" He indicated the door to his office, and I walked in behind him while Jessica rolled in behind me. Chauncery walked over behind his desk and opened a drawer. I noticed that Jessica never took her optics off of him. She may be a talkative android most of the time, but right now she was eerily quiet. He produced a key card and took it over to a small shelf hanging off the left wall. I was about to ask him what the hell he was doing until he slid the card underneath the shelf. It made a barely audible click. Next to the shelf, a door slid open. He turned to us. "Please, come this way. I assure you that you can trust me. Besides, I know your Jessica has scanned me for weapons and found me clean." We walked into a small room and the doors slid shut behind us. The room gave a small shudder and I felt the slight change in gravity. An elevator? Why in the hell was a lift hidden in Chauncery's office? I looked at him quizzically, but he merely smiled and said nothing. Moments later, the lift came to a stop and the gravity felt normal again, or normal at least for Luna. Walking to the end of a short hallway, we arrived at another door. Chauncery scanned his fingerprint, his retina, and then punched a code into an optical keyboard. I glanced at Jessica, her hands rested on her hips, just above the concealed holsters. The keypad scanner beeped, the door slid open, and my jaw hit the ground. Books. Millions of them. Maybe tens of millions. In a space appearing to go on to forever, shelves upon shelves of books reached back into the recesses of the horizon. Jessica's eyes lit up. For a little bot programmed to sort and shelf books, she must have seen it as akin to paradise. As a librarian with a fetish for the things past, all I could do was gape. Finally, I turned to Chauncery. He'd removed his glasses and regarded me with his beady little eyes. A half smile crossed his face, and he inhaled deeply. "Smell that?" he said. "That's the smell of books. Paper, binding glue, cloth covers, ink, dust, everything. There are probably just as many parts to that smell as there are volumes to this collection." Finally, I found my voice. What are they all doing here? I mean, I know we're a library, but I was sent to the periphery and... Skylar... The directorate sent you to the periphery branch to shut you up. Obviously, you already knew that. However, they didn't do it because you wanted to go after books, real books. They did it because your enthusiasm for such an endeavor posed a threat to the continued secrecy of this collection. If it ever got out that Galplek had a collection of books like this, well, we could expect bands of thieves, pirates, and other assorted scum within the hour. Chauncery wiped his glasses and put them in an inside pocket of his coat. "But Periphery Branch has real books, and..." I said, still stammering with shock. "Of course, but many of them are copies, Skylar," he explained. "Of the real ones you do have, well, they're valuable, but nothing we couldn't replace. There's not a book in Periphery Branch that we don't have several copies of here." His hand swept the expanse of the room. "Besides," he continued, "we made sure those items were protected. Why do you think we stationed Jessica out there? Why do you think the courier made sure never to pick her up when you tried sending her out with the shipment?" Slowly, everything made sense. Of course Galplek would know about Jessica's variety of lethal armaments. After all, they purchased her in the first place. Yet there was still one question unanswered. "Why show me this?" I said. Chauncery grinned wider than a Cheshire cat. It was strange to see him smile. I don't think I'd ever seen that before, and to tell the truth, he looked much better when he did. "Well, Skylar, we have a unique situation here. Normally someone working for Galplex Special Collections goes through a training regimen. Psychological evaluation, background check. We do all of that to make sure they know what they're doing and that they're right for the job. You and Jessica," he said, resting a hand on her shoulder, "you two saved an entire branch from a rather clever space pirate. You fought him off, managed not to kill him outright, and then came back here to give me my comeuppance for endangering not only you two, but also the books in your branch." I blinked, and damn it, I think Jessica did too. "Wait a second," I said. "The guy who attempted to rob us wasn't all that clever. He seemed more like a standard-issue spacer." "Well, that's the clever part, Skylar," said Chauncery. "See, you have to understand that I did run a reference and background check on him. The fact that he came up clean says something about his resourcefulness." Slow realization crept up my spine and into my brain. Chauncery may be a bureaucrat, but he's a good one. He must be if he's got access to this collection. "So, Skylar, what will it be?" he said, looking at me dead in the eyes for the first time since we met a few years back. "You saved a branch in its collection, and took out a very dangerous individual, too. Not a bad resume, really. Would you care to join us?" I looked at Jessica. She wore a pensive expression on her face. I didn't even know that androids could look pensive. Still, I knew what she was worried about. Turning to Chauncery, I asked, "Can Jessica and I still work together?" He smiled again. "I didn't think there was an option stating that you couldn't. Welcome aboard?" He extended his hand. "Oh, what the hell," I said, shaking his hand as Jessica rocked happily on her ball drive. "If someone's got to fight for the books, it may as well be a librarian."